This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome. It is the Hump Day edition of the Lori and Julia Show, My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. We're actually quite happy that it's raining right now, because if it were any colder, it'd be snowing. So we're glad that it's raining.
Well, you know what? I've got a real good idea for drivers based on my driving I had to do this morning. And I mean, Well, it doesn't matter how many miles. It is the fact that it's pothole city.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
On streets and freeways. I need a mouth guard. Oh. It's so... You could use a helmet if you're a big commuter, because I read a story in the Star Tribune that Joe... that Bobby and Joe's Auto World had like 12 cars... blew out a tire, you know, that like tunnel, like right there as you're coming into downtown Minneapolis.
DeLorean?
No, the other one where you're coming down, like if you're coming from northern, like okay, from Anoka, yeah. Or coming, splitting off on 280, and that the Lowry Street Bridge is there or whatever. Okay. Whatever. Yeah, maybe Hennepin. Yeah. Anyway, there is a pothole of such epic proportion, it's immediately blasting people's tires to shreds. And they had 14 cars from the same
pothole
that's like more like a crevice.
I know where the other one is.
Yeah. Did you hit it? Did you wish you had a mouth guard or a helmet?
No, because the guy warned me about it, and I thought, oh, wow, this is so safety, and then called me twice and warned me about what lane to be in, because it's hidden underwater.
Yes, that's the problem.
And it was so bad, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it is like really...
A mouth guard, okay.
A mouth guard, just to kind of...
Because I was on... teeth.
Well, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what street you're on. And like you said, with the water,
it's unbelievable.
It is kind of unbelievable. And I had a physical therapy appointment. Julia, yes. I'm doing muscle recruitment right now on my body.
Is that what they're calling it? Yeah. We're trying to find it muscle from one place and put it in another place.
Muscle recruitment. And, you know, I can.
Hello, muscles. Hello. I need muscles.
They've never been recruited before.
Someone. You know? To bring the muscles.
I know it. And anyway,
I've never heard of that.
Muscle recruitment. No. Isn't it fabulous?
Okay. It's a new term I heard, skin fasting, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's a good one. So I said, because I'm giving him all my body confessions about all the things, because I'm
don't
hurting.
Do during
no,
the
I'm
week.
Doing. Like Casey, you know, he's a high discipline, low maintenance man. And so he said to me, you should be doing those stretches every day. And I said, oh, my guy told me these next set of exercises.
For the cold shoulder?
For the frozen shoulder. I should do every other day. And he kind of, you know, just gave me side eye. So I get, you know, pressure. And so like for the last week, I've done it every day. And every day I'm sore and sore, and to the point where, you know, I'm like, I had trouble sleeping last night. So I confess all of this to him, and he goes, well, we're doing muscle recruitment and we're strengthening, not stretching. I said, I am going to report this to my husband, who's so bossy in the physical therapy department.
It's so, okay, so you're talking about your husband, my older brother.
Yes.
So there's five of us in 7 years, and Casey's the oldest, and my little sister Catherine's the youngest. Those two, Donnie, you've never met two people
with more discipline
in your life.
Yeah, but imagine. Yeah, both of them are low maintenance people.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah, can sort you of. Be both?
And highly opinionated.
Well, yeah, that's a given with an oldest and a youngest.
Yeah. But it's, you've never seen people like this that just Just get up and do it. What's wrong with you?
Right.
And what's wrong with you? You should be doing it every day if they told you every other.
Yeah.
You should do it 5 times a day.
And Chris is like, no, you're recovering. You got to have a day to recover because you're strengthening. You're not stretching. We're not to the stretching yet. I'm going, oh, God, I don't know if I can get through the strengthening. And, of course, my mom and dad just love to remind me of my age.
Yeah.
As if that has anything to do with my frozen shoulder, which Chris assures me happens most frequently mm-hmm. between like 40 and 60.
Makes sense.
Well, it's imagine that you're in that period. Yeah. On the lower end, of course.
Right, right. But I mean, it just happens. And he said, you know, don't even, you know, think it's because of your age or something.
Well, stuff just happens, Laurie.
Yeah, I know it. I know
stuff
it.
Just
so
happens.
Anyway, I don't know when I'm going to be able to swing dance with Casey. It's like that was the gift of the Magi, that whole situation.
You love doing that, though.
I love doing it, but the shoulder that's bad is my swinging, is my...
Yeah, I understand.
And it's your bowling arm.
And it's my bowling arm. And so it is really, the shoulder is rock blocking me from fun.
It is.
You know?
Oh, Laurie.
Well, muscle recruitment is a real thing. I looked it up.
Tell
me what it means, because it's not
Well,
like,
it's got quite the definition, Julie.
Us,
it's actually called motor unit recruitment.
Mm-hmm. I'm recruiting.
Refers to the activation of additional motor units to accomplish an increase in contractile strength in a muscle.
Yeah.
A motor unit consists of one motor neuron and all of the muscle fibers it stimulates.
So it's basically if you are trying to strengthen something that's been impinged or inflamed or whatever, like it could be any number. I mean, I'm sure athletes are very used to this terminology.
Muscle recruitment is a new one for you.
I am not what I would call an athlete. I'm an exercise
coach. You are too. You're an exerciser.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know.
You're not an athlete.
I'm not an athlete. I didn't let her. I couldn't even finish out the badminton season in 10th grade, for crying out loud. It was too
much.
Why did
you get a sore?
Julie, I fell on my knees my very first match. It was so humiliating. I thought because I was good at backyard badminton, I could play high school.
So you, oh, no, you I quit? Understand that.
My girlfriend and I, our coach just sort of looked at us and was just like, yeah, maybe there's another sport. And then we joined intramurals.
Which are totally fun.
Totally fun.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, I played a little tennis today.
Yeah. And now you had a tennis impingement. Like
I had tennis elbow forever. Yeah.
And it comes back the minute you start doing something.
No, you just really have to be careful.
Yeah. Well, how do you do it when it's your playing arm?
I played with my other. Remember last year?
Oh, are you doing that?
No.
Oh.
I'm back to my original.
Like, I wish I could dance with my other arm. I wish I could dance with my left.
If you just tried it, maybe you could. It's kind of amazing what you can learn, and it's good for your brain. Well, it is. It's amazing
Casey
what you can learn.
Casey would have to switch his arm,
he
too.
Would have to. Laurie would have to lead.
No, Casey, he would just have to. We'd both have to probably switch our arms. Yeah.
That would be a brain challenge, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work on the shoulder recruitment.
Shoulder recruiting.
What can be done, and I can just dance the regular way. And in the meantime, I'm looking for some mouth guards for driving.
Those potholes, though, I was thinking of.
It is treacherous. People are walking down the street because the sidewalks just keep. I mean, Casey was outside with a shop vac and a, what do you call that?
Ice pick.
No, well, he had the ice pick. He was out there with a big, huge shop vac, which I think personally he secretly loves when he gets to use that, but not for this much water, and a chainsaw cutting a tree that was blocking a drain. He's like, it's a good damn thing we're not on vacation this week.
Well, because a lot of the flooding is getting into window wells and
a lot of people are worried about their basements.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people, it was so lively in the neighborhood. People were out with, you know,
machinery trying to
brushing, shoveling, ice picking. I mean, it's like there's like all this, you know, ice camaraderie that's happening with people.
Well, there is winter snow camaraderie when everyone's out shoveling and you get to see your neighbors again.
Yeah. All right. Listen, when we come back, we got it. Even though everyone has heard about it, it's still our story. We cannot get enough of. Everybody, this is for all the lambs out there going to Mariah Carey tonight. Also, we could dedicate it to Michelle Obama. She's here tonight. And my buddy Tom was very disappointed that the lambs did not sell out Mariah Carey.
I would go to this.
Yeah.
I would go to this if we weren't going to the two other events that we're going to tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got a busy schedule.
So there are still tickets. It is the first time Mariah Carey has done a concert, and she is playing downtown Minneapolis at the Orpheum, I believe.
So fun. And there's not a bad seat there.
No. Oh, my gosh. Amazing. So, okay, everybody, like every late night talk show, every entertainment talk show, every political talk show, every morning show, every conservative, it didn't matter what it was, the admissions cheating bribery scandal that right now has 50 people arrested, and the two most prominent being Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, aka Aunt Becky and Lynette Scavo. You know, that all, everybody led with that. There were, you know, funny jokes. There were people who were really mad. You know, I think, you know, the morning shows were just like, they devoted a couple segments to it. Kyle Richards was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, and she knows Lori going way back.
Lori Loughlin.
Mm-hmm. And she was just absolutely astounded. Because she's got four kids or something, and she's had like three of them go off to college. Mm-hmm. She just couldn't wrap her mind around it. So we went with the GMA story to just sort of wrap up where we're at and what it means. And then Dan Abrams, you know, their legal beagle.
Yeah, I can weigh in.
Okay.
This morning, two of Hollywood's brightest stars are now facing major jail time in a college admissions cheating scandal that's rocked the country. Both women, Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, are accused of conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud, all to help their daughters gain access into elite colleges. Huffman is an Emmy winner and Academy Award nominee known for playing Lynette Scavo in Desperate Housewives. Now she's playing the role of defendant. On Tuesday, she faced a federal judge. Her husband, Shameless star William H. Macy, was seen walking into the hearing. Macy sat in the front row. She's now out on $250,000 bail. The actress is accused of bribery in real life, allegedly paying an admissions consultant $15,000 to ensure that a proctor would improve her daughter's test scores. In the end, a 400-point jump over her PSAT score.
Oops. Which is like...
It's a big jump.
It's a big jump.
Big jump. Okay. And then someone dug up Lynette Scavo on a Desperate Housewives thing where she bribed her son's soccer coach.
Right. And then they found all these things from Full House when they were talking about bribing other people. I mean, there's a lot of this that goes on because it's like, yeah, you might get a pass.
Lori Loughlin was promoting her Hallmark thing last year in New York. And Wendy Williams played the clip from Good Day New York where Lori Loughlin with her daughter, not the one who's the Insta star, but the next daughter, saying, well, we really were so excited for her to go to college. You know, I didn't go to college. And we just, you know, we're right in the middle of all this stuff, all this preparation, and we're working so hard. She did the wee, and the girl just sat there, and she just had the glummest look on her face. Mm-hmm. She looked like she was not in agreement with everything her mom was saying. So, I mean... Bob Saget was on with Jimmy Kimmel. They did not bring it up.
I was wondering that. I was reading, here's the thing, and just to back up a little bit. So Lori Loughlin has two daughters, and she paid $500,000 to get them on a crew team, which was a loophole to get them into University of Southern California. And
because they had some
they needed
some rowing spots available, even though they never rowed.
Exactly. And so, and apparently Donnie said that they took pictures of the girls on rowing machines and then superimposed their face.
Oh, my.
I mean, really what people did.
Yeah, they took photos. I think that's mentioned in the next clip here.
Yeah, okay, let's play it.
Also embroiled in the scandal, Lori Loughlin. The actress who rose to fame on Full House, playing the kind-hearted role model, Aunt Becky. Social media seizing on that compassionate and courteous image. The hashtag Aunt Becky trending for most of the day. Loughlin and her husband, Massimo Giannulli, the famous fashion designer behind the brand Massimo, are accused of paying $500,000 in bribes and fees to the University of Southern California in exchange for having their two daughters designated as recruits to the USC crew team, despite the fact that they did not participate in crew, thereby facilitating their admission to USC. The couple even reportedly took pictures of their children on rowing machines. Lori Loughlin has now flown back to the United States from Canada and is expected to turn herself into authorities.
If convicted, some legal experts estimate that Lachlan could face as many as 46 months and Huffman as many as 18 months behind bars. Meanwhile, many parents and students are outraged learning about this scheme, especially with student loan debt at an all-time high of $1.5 trillion.
They're going to have to start a scholarship program when this is all over.
Well, they are. You know, some of the things that I was interested in last night, I've been obsessed with this story. It's hard.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Not well, you know why? Because I love it that it's overprivileged rich people who did something so stupid and so
heinous,
but without any, you know, moral backbone about it, and no one has been molested. Okay, so this is a story that in a horrifying news cycle, it's like a breath of gossipy fresh air, if you will. Kind of. And people keep wondering, well, why didn't they just do what other people do and give $1 million so that their kid gets in?
And because they didn't have access. This was something very interesting about law, you know, old names,
old money,
having relationships. And they had on last night, I think I was watching Fox News. They had on a gentleman from Solomon Administrations, and his job, they hired them to start working with kids at in eighth grade.
Oh my God.
To position them to make the right choices about sports, extracurricular activities.
Oh my God.
How to start training for the tests.
Is this if you want to go to like a big dream school
but
or something?
Okay. Who is in this network? Yeah, our elite schools, except for there's a few that aren't.
Right.
And they talked about that in the past, this has been going on forever. We'll name it the Johnson Wing, or we'll call it the Massimo Wing, or the so and so
dormitory,
gym. Right,
or whatever.
And it's been going on that access, but these people are elite people financially, but they don't have the connection.
Got it.
Yeah.
And it felt to me, after reading everything, like Felicity Huffman, just because her name is more on it, she wanted her kids to go to these elite colleges more than I think they did.
The same with Lori
Loughlin and her husband.
Oh,
they didn't get a chance to go to college. He did, but he just spent all the money his dad gave him and never went to college.
Yeah.
So they wanted to give that to their children, but the kids don't seem like they even wanted it.
Yeah.
So it's like parents fulfilling their fantasy through via their children.
Yes.
You know, so it's really...
Right, let's hear from Dan Akers. Okay, he has a little thing to say about this.
Okay. Legal ways to curry favor.
What's the difference here, Dan?
Well, look, there's definitely a legal difference. In one, there's much more transparency. There's much more of an ability of a school to make a decision based on the facts as they know them. Number two, when it comes to these selective institutions, we're talking about really big checks, right? And even then, and even the singer involved in this case would sort of say to people, that won't guarantee you admission. He was effectively saying, I can almost guarantee you admission. That won't necessarily guarantee you admission. From a moral perspective, you can equate the two. From a legal perspective, there is a difference. And even the amount of money matters from a legal perspective. For example, Lori Loughlin could potentially face a more significant sentence than Felicity Huffman because she spent $500,000 twice. Felicity Huffman, $15,000 only once.
Right.
No, it's true.
And then how do they wiggle around? Did this person help people with like...
Singer?
Yeah, the singer guy, this William Singer, did he help them get some kind of a ruling so that their kid could be decreed as having some kind of disability so they could take a test alone so it could be proctored and doctored up?
Yeah, that's what we hear.
And but it, I mean,
it's very hard to get that, but he had a test administrator... involved in the scandal, in the bribery ring.
In the bribery ring.
In the bribery ring, if you will. And yesterday, we made a decision on...
I can't shut it down. It's going viral.
This is the My Talk Now trending report.
Interesting day on the World Wide Web.
Trending online this afternoon would be last night's Bachelor finale. No spoiler alerts here, but
never.
Although we can say that there was a puzzling performance by Air Supply.
Oh, you gave it away.
Well, no, I did not. Oh, please. That is a spoiler-free recap of what happened on Colton's Bachelor finale last night.
Just a collective air who?
Yeah, people kind of confused about why Air Supply made a... feature last that happened. Lady Gaga, she's trending. She's dismissing pregnancy speculations. She said, however, that she is expecting a new album soon, so we have new music from Lady Gaga to look forward to. And also trending, The Hollywood Reporter's Most Powerful Stylist in Hollywood, featuring Julia Roberts' stylist, among others. All our red carpet looks coming courtesy of these people. All right, that's what's trending here at My Talk. Now, Donnie, time for the weather.
Oh, yes. Let's see. Rain and fog tonight all the way through tomorrow. Lots of rain. That's why we do have a flood watch in effect. 39 is going to be the low for tonight. And that's
temperature. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are obsessed. And we were actually, have to be honest, we were a little bit happy that the weather was, you know, kennel up, tuckle up weather, because we were reading the most amazing book, As Long As We Both Shall Live. Joanne Chaney is joining us. And Joanne, oh my gosh, what a page turner.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on.
Yes, absolutely. You're so welcome. Give people the setup of As Long As We Both Shall Live.
It's about it's set in the Rocky Mountain National Forest in Colorado. A husband and a wife are hiking, and the husband comes rushing down the mountainside to tell people, my wife has fallen off this cliff. And I think she's dead, but it turns out that his first wife was also killed under mysterious circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so the question is what happened? Is he a killer? Is he a victim? You know, what's going on?
It's very Hitchcockian with the twists and turns. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, oh, totally.
And Joanne, do you agree with that? That it has a Hitchcockian?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Okay.
So this is your second
novel. Yeah, and I really like that.
Yeah.
And it felt to us... and I don't mean to be sexist, but it didn't feel like it was written from a woman. I mean, that sounds really sexist.
Yeah.
But have you heard that before? I mean, some of your descriptions and stuff were so rotty and manly and unfeeling and unsensitive and I mean, really.
Well, she's writing from a man's perspective.
I know,
part
but
of the book.
Oh my gosh. Just nasty,
I've heard that
mean.
Before for my first book too. Yeah. You know, in some books you read, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and it does sound kind of offensive when you're like, oh, a woman obviously wrote this, or a man obviously wrote this. So I take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be rough and dirty, in your face.
It makes you feel, all right, because there's so many twists. I couldn't figure it out. We just finished it. Laura, you finished it the other day.
Yeah, I finished it this weekend, but I was really happy that it was like cold and snowy out, and that I was like, okay, I'm just going to curl up with this book for like 2 solid hours and not stop reading. It was wonderful.
And you, Joanne, if you're just joining us, the book is As Long As We Both Shall Live, a novel by Joanne Chaney. And Joanne, you started out, if you try to kill your wife without a plan, you will fail. I mean, if that doesn't bring the reader in, I'm not quite sure what does.
Yeah.
And the theme in this book is being, you know, in a relationship with someone you absolutely can't stand, but you don't want to get away from.
Right. Very toxic.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Tell us about how you, you have song lyrics
at the beginning of all the chapters.
Or like sections. You can't always get what you want is your first one. I didn't pick up on that until like halfway through the book, but I did like that.
Yeah. I listen to music when I write. I think a lot of writers do.
Okay.
I'd actually put together a playlist for my father of some of the songs that are included in those titles, in the section titles.
Okay.
So it's what I'd been listening to. And as I was writing it, I thought, you know, some of these lyrics are perfect for the titles of these, you know, sections. So that's kind of how it just worked out perfectly, I think.
Now, Joanne, when you, because like Joey said, your first book is What You Don't Know. This one is As Long As We Both Shall Live. Do you, because you're writing, you know, really a twisty psychological thriller, I mean, do you know how it's going to end, or do you find out as you're writing the characters?
I find out as I'm writing, because sometimes it's as big of a surprise for me. Then I have to go back and fill in blanks when I kind of come across this big, you know, I'm blown away, like, oh, that's what happened. Then I have to go back and rewrite.
Yeah.
It really is just so deliciously good. So here's a question. How do you even come up with such a twisted, horrible idea? I mean, because really, were you in a bad marriage once, or is there anything that reflects you in this book besides living in Colorado?
There actually was a case here in Colorado of a gentleman who pushed his wife off of the cliff, and then it turned out that he'd also murdered his first wife. That happened several years ago. But I took that and kind of ran with it. But I also went through a pretty bad marriage myself. So I'm going to say, when, you know, I hear the comments that this, you write about a long-term marriage gone bad so well. Well, I mean, yes, I am. I was a part of one, not a terrible one, but yes, some of that is my own life. Not that I've murdered anyone. You know,
this is good to know. Because we didn't want you to confess that on the airwaves here today. You know, in your book, there's, I was just reading some of the comments on like Goodreads or something. And I hated the movie The War of the Roses so much with Danny DeVito and Kathleen Turner. And someone is saying, you know, there are two dilemmas that rattle the human soul. How do you hold on to someone that won't stay? And how do you get rid of someone that won't go? And it's kind of like that's being dealt with here in your book. But I hated that movie so much. I love this book so much because I don't know why. I empathized. I mean, the police characters in here, you could build. I mean, I like how you weaved their stories into it. And it just felt like you always wanted to turn the page.
Well, good.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm glad to hear that.
We were just reading. we did some Googling about you, and we saw that Bruno Papandrea's made-up stories has acquired the film rights to As Long As We Both Shall Live. And they also optioned Lianne Moriarty's Nine Perfect Strangers. I mean, they kind of are really getting a lot of women-centric storylines. Are you excited about that, or will you be involved?
I will be involved to a degree. I am super excited to see it. I'm very interested to see, you know, what they do to bring it to the screen. And, you know, no spoiler alerts, but there are twists that I have discussed with them that, you know, like, how would we do this for the screen, and how would we make that work without giving anything away? But I'm thrilled because they have done such awesome things with, I mean, they produced Gone Girl. They did Big Little Lies on HBO. I mean, they've done amazing things.
I mean,
so
this is,
I am excited.
This is your second book. That is so awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, good for you.
Yeah. And, you know, really, I was convinced that Matt, the husband, I mean, I was convinced of all these things, both about Matt and Marie. And every time I thought I had something figured out, you would totally take the story in another direction. And I'm like, okay, now what is going to happen?
That's so good to hear, because I think as a writer, I'm so close to the story that sometimes I don't know whether a twist is working or not, even when I reread it myself and I think, oh, I don't know if that's a surprise. So it's so good to hear.
Oh, it's so true.
Have you done your book tour for this book, As Long As We Both Shall Live? Have you been out on the road?
I have not. I mean, I've been around to some bookstores in Colorado. I had a book release party. I went to Florida 2 weekends ago and did a festival down there, but I don't have anything really planned out and about.
Yeah.
Well, people are going to eat this book up. I mean, and obviously.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. Oh, it's so delicious. And, you know, when you're writing this, Joanne, who did you grow up just loving reading as a child?
Well, as a kid, I read a lot of Stephen King. I think I read a lot of horror. I read a lot of old classics, a lot of Dickens, Little Women. I mean, and as I got older, and, you know, got married, had kids, I would stick to like the new releases, the popular stuff that I could grab off the shelf really quickly, and read. So, and I read widely. So I wouldn't say that I can't think of anyone that's a major
influence in my life. I think, you know, I read widely, and I think that that's good for any writer or reader to read widely, because there's so much out there that's so good.
Yeah. What's the last great book you've read?
See. I actually just reread most recently Mildred Pierce by James Cain.
Did that hold up for you? Did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. It's a beautiful book. And I actually wish I could write like that. It's a very quiet sort of novel about, like, not very much happens, but it's so spellbinding. I couldn't stop turning the pages. It's amazing.
All right, that's good. That's good. I've never read Mildred Pierce. I just saw the adaptation with Kate Winslet on, like, HBO or Showtime, which was not very good. For that story.
No, we couldn't stand it, actually, quite
just
frankly.
Just go watch the Joan Crawford movie version, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
do that.
I hope they can film As Long As We Both Shall Live in Colorado, right in Estes Park, because that is so beautiful there.
It is, and I think it would really lend, I think the park and the scenery and the landscape and everything would lend itself really well to the movie.
If you could just fantasy cast someone for Matt and Marie,
your two
main characters, who would you just press the, you know, wave your magic wand?
You know, it's interesting because I've had the question from the production company and from people, from readers, and I've had some trouble. I've thought, you know, maybe Matthew McConaughey, because you need someone who is kind of trustworthy, but can kind of be a slime ball.
Yes.
And I have some problems in my head coming up with that. For Marie, perhaps a dark haired Charlize Theron.
I like that.
But I mean, I'm up for
whoever.
I just don't know. I can't really pin it. When I write, I don't think
of course
about
not. Of course
people.
Not.
Yeah.
But so. I could just see that. Yeah. Once I saw that, I'm like, I'm so glad this has been an option, because I do think it'll be really a great, whether it's a series or whatever.
Because you go back and forth between present time, past time, and all the, it's got really great characters. It is so delightful to meet you, Joanne.
So nice to meet you guys,
and Chaney, the book is As Long As We Both Shall Live. Are you working on your third novel as we speak?
I am. I actually am kind of switching back and forth between books 3 and 4.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts, and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
We're simultaneously, so
you
new
go,
things will
girl.
Be out soon, hopefully.
Yeah. Listen, congratulations to you, and we will look forward to seeing this on the screen. Is it going to be the big screen or a miniseries or...
I believe it's going to be the big screen. It'll be a feature film.
Okay. Wow,
good
exciting.
Lord. All right, so fun. And we want to go back and read your first book now, but you are a wonderful writer. It was really nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joanne. Okay, 651-641-1071. We've got a couple of copies of the book to give away.
So good.
It is so good. And when we come back, we just have to discuss one more thing as it relates to... you know, the college admissions bribery scandal, which is gossip giving us life because it doesn't involve hurting any actual people or children. The cheating bribery scandal. Unfortunately for them, they're the most well-known names. And of course, I do feel for kids, you know, who didn't get in, you know, because these people, these rich people got this advantage and, had to do their bribing in another way. They didn't have the connection to just spend $1 million and get a dorm and get some access, which you know, people have been doing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So what is going to happen to all their film and TV projects? Felicity has a lot coming out.
And Lori Loughlin is on regularly scheduled shows. So talk about what Felicity
has. Okay, Felicity has, here's what she has. Her next thing that's coming out. I mean, it's so embarrassing because they are consistently working actresses who have like this nice, very nice, wholesome image, right?
They do.
Yeah.
I feel like if you met people, they wouldn't have anything bad to say about these people.
Their friends are probably just absolutely shocked. They can't even believe it.
Right.
So, okay, Felicity is on April 26th. She's in a movie with Patricia Arquette and Angela Bassett that is a Netflix comedy called Otherhood.
Okay.
She probably won't be on the
She won't PR be on the tour. Press tour. No.
She also plays prosecutor Linda Farstein in When They See Us, which is Ava DuVernay's miniseries recounting the Central Park 5 case in 1990.
I remember that. Yes, yeah. I do too.
That will premiere on Netflix May 31st.
Okay, so she won't be doing that. Ava DuVernay will be doing that.
Well, yeah, Ava is going to get real, you know, she's probably, they'll say, don't ask it. And then Huffman just wrapped production on an indie film called Tammy's Always Dying.
Right. And so Varsity, I think, did this story and they called Netflix. They've called Huffman. They've called everybody.
No one's responding.
No one's responding to anything.
No.
And then Lori Loughlin is reprising her role as Becca in the fifth and final season of Fuller House, which has been very successful for Netflix. That's going to be released this fall. But she also is in a Hallmark Channel series, When Calls the Heart.
Yeah, she's taken down her Twitter, but she was always tweeting things out to her hearties.
Yes, so apparently I watched that.
You've watched When Calls the Heart. It's in its sixth season, and she's also been in production on this show called Garage Sale Mystery, which is new.
Right.
Is that Hallmark, too?
Yes, that is.
Yeah, okay. It is.
Because we know she was filming in Vancouver when she got called.
Well, that's where they filmed
When Calls the Heart.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, you know.
And Felicity Huffman writes an advice for mom's website called What the Flicka. Now, she's kept her Insta and Twitter up, Felicity. Lori Loughlin took hers down. And I don't know if she was getting more clap back because she spent the, you know, $500,000.
Yeah. No, and she spent $1 million. When you said she paid $500,000 two times.
Yeah.
Per child. I don't know. Last night, you know, there was a lot of celebrities kind of saying, wow. And one of them that I thought was really bad, but it was initiated by Rob Lowe's son, John Lowe. And he posted the kid, you know, kids are really upset. I mean, right now there's an Asian student who has straight A's, aced everything, has gone over and above, and he is suing Harvard right now because he didn't get in.
Okay.
And he thinks that they're discriminating against Asians. So that's been a suit that's going on right now. But a lot of kids don't get into colleges and you see these other people getting in. So Rob Lowe's son, John Lowe, tweeted last night out a picture of him graduating from Stanford with his brother, writing, still proud of, what did he write? He said, proud of my achievement, but worked really hard for it. And I had to, you know, stay in weekends, study. And it took a lot to get into Stanford. And then his dad retweeted the photo, who is Rob Lowe, and said, very proud of my honest, hardworking sons. And I thought, hey, Rob, you know, good for your son for doing that. But why do you need to retweet it? And I felt like, you know, people in glass houses should throw stones.
Yeah, right.
He has a very bad scandal on his hands with an underage woman in a hotel room way back when.
Yeah.
He has apparently taken down that tweet. Lena Dunham, you know, has tweeted out. James Vanderbeek.
Well, I'm looking at Lena. I didn't think hers was too bad. All the people involved in this college scam should have gathered their money and started a small elite college where Lori Loughlin teaches a class on smiling.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Patton Oswalt just paid $425,000 to get my daughter into a Color Me Mine.
Oh, that is funny. So, Lena had a couple other tweets, like my parents, you know, wouldn't pay. They didn't care enough about me going to college, but they'd pay for a good boyfriend to sit next to me in the ER.
Yeah. So and other people like Samantha Bee, breaking news, entrance into college unjust, tilted in favor of white kids with rich parents.
Exactly. You know,
so there's been all over the thing. But yeah, I would think that both of them have hired a PR consultant. And crisis, you know, person.
And looking at Felicity Huffman, you know, she, when the FBI went to her house, they all had their guns out.
Standard protocol.
I know it is.
Just ask Roger Stone.
Exactly. Exactly. And then she's in a shirt and she's wearing, you know, the oversized glasses. And she just looked, if you can imagine.
Devastated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can imagine, and shameful.
Yeah.
And
well, and both of them have had, particularly Lori Loughlin in 2017, must have been when she was promoting Full House, she trotted out her kids and talking about college on the regular. And like in another interview with Page Six, she said, you know, we're not the kind of parents that pressure our kids into going to any certain kind of school. Mm. I always say, just do the best you can.
And mom and dad will pay for the rest.
That's right.
And mom and dad will take care of the rest.
For my husband, too, their dad, we were never like, at school, you have to get straight A's. We were not those parents. We were always like, you know what? Give it your all. Do it the best you can. That's all you can do. I don't want to put too much pressure or stress on them. Well, yeah, well, I guess if you just pay to get them in.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah.
Georgetown gal, her name is, what is her name? Isabella Henriquez. And she's gloated about cheating on her SATs to get into Georgetown. On her LinkedIn page, she calls herself a rapid learner. And her problem solving got her accepted into Georgetown University, knowingly cheating on her SATs. And her dad is head of a big firm. I mean, his firm, it's, what is it
called? Isn't it like some big hedge fund or is it a chemical
company? And he paid $425,000 to get her into this college and had her be on the tennis team. She's
never played tennis a day in her life.
But then she willingly was in on it. Yes, I've been practicing tennis and blah 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 blah.
Oh, dear, bread and beer.
So anywho, she might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, kids. The scandal continues with Jeopardy next. Hey, thank you, Donnie.